glory. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, come on. Let's go. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to share with you tonight. I think you're really going to enjoy it. I think you'll see it from a, not a different perspective, but in fullness. I'm going to quote what I said last Wednesday, that I'm here to strengthen the beloved. I'm here to strengthen you. I'm quoting Simon Peter, what Jesus told Simon Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. So I'm here to strengthen you in the faith. Some observations, I've been in the Gospels a lot lately. Again, I'm pacing myself because I can't. Yes, I can. Never mind. I can't talk because the Holy Ghost is on me. So, some observations about the Apostle Peter. How many of you know Simon Peter made a lot of mistakes? Can you say amen to that? Okay. Yeah, he did. Reminds me of me. Who said amen? He made a lot of mistakes. But Jesus told him, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And boy, did he ever. He made mistakes. But you know one thing about Simon Peter and the other apostles? They made mistakes. Judas was a betrayer. But they all had one thing in common. Because if somebody want to take a shot at what I'm going to say, they made mistakes. But they all had one thing in common. And we can learn from this. I don't think anybody here is committing adultery. I don't think anybody here is sexually immoral, stealing. I don't think anybody here is. And neither was the apostles. But they had one thing in common. Somebody give it a shot if you think you know what that is. Go ahead. That's not a wrong answer. Okay. What's that? Yes, sir. Can't go wrong with that. But this. They didn't serve God and mammon. They did not serve God and mammon at all. They made mistakes, but they didn't serve money. John 21. Simon Peter and six other apostles are there fishing. The Lord says, have you any meat? No, Lord, we've toiled all night long. We've caught nothing. Jesus says, throw your net on the right side. Lord, at your word, I'll do this. But we've caught nothing. They go, they cast the net, and their biggest harvest, probably, in their life, they 153 fish that are huge, the Bible says. They were huge. I guess they must have been real huge. He said, Jesus, the writer said, the nets didn't even break. One of the biggest financial days of their life. Jesus said, bring the fish to shore. Remember, they didn't serve mammon at all. Proof. I think that could be an issue in the body of Christ. God forbid you make a little money and you chase it. You can't serve God and mammon. You're going to love one or the other. Listen to this. 153 fish. He brought the, at the request of, request of Christ, he brought the fish to the shore. 153 big fish, John 21 says. John 21 says they were big fish. A huge catch. Bring them to the shore. Jesus was preparing. There was a coal, some coals there with bread and fish. He called the apostles. Simon Peter brought the fish to the shore. He said, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Pointing to the fish. Do you love me more than these, Simon Peter? Yes, Lord. Looking at the biggest catch probably of his life. listen to Christ. The catch, he was a fisherman, man. A tremendous financial gain that day. Simon Peter, love us be more than these, not the other apostles. Do you love me more than these fish? This financial gain that you got today, Simon Peter, this tremendous catch of fish, huge fish, so many they didn't even break your net, Simon Peter. Do you love me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. Simon Peter, feed my lambs. I said two more times. Do you love me, Simon Peter? Yes, I love you. You know that I love you, Lord. Lord, you know all things. Do you love me more than these? He made mistakes, but he forsook his biggest financial gain, probably his entire life. Jesus said, that last I love you, Lord, was a sincere one. Jesus said, follow me. He made mistakes, but he didn't love money. Money did not have him. Do you love me more than these, Simon Peter? Fish, Jesus, money, Jesus, financial gain, money, financial gain, Jesus. Lord, you know I love you, Lord. You know all things. Simon Peter, follow me. What did Simon Peter do? He followed him. Jesus said to you, Simon Peter, when you were young, you used to gird yourself. You used to gird yourself. You used to walk where you wanted to walk. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands. And others are going to gird you and take you where you don't want to go. Basically, Jesus told Simon Peter, you're going to be a martyr. You're going to be a martyr. The biggest financial gain of his life, right there. He chose Christ over mammon. We can learn from that, man. Nothing should matter to you but your relationship. Don't pursue mammon. Don't pursue this and that. Go after Jesus. He's all that you need. He will supply all that you need. You cannot serve God and mammon. Don't chase it. Don't chase it. Worship Jesus, man. And believe the gospel. Tremendous financial gain. Do you love me more than these, Simon Peter? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Follow me. And he did. When you were young, you used to gird yourself, Simon Peter, and go where you wanted to go. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands, and others are going to gird you and take you where you don't want to go. You're going to be martyred, Simon Peter. And he still followed him as a spiritually dead man. He knew what was at stake. He knew he was going to be martyred. And he still followed Jesus, spiritually dead. Are you getting this? Don't let nothing come between you and Jesus Christ. Nothing, not your kids, not your wife, not money, nothing. Don't. At the end, he is our reward. He is our reward. Money can do nothing for you. You need it, but don't go after it, man. Don't go after it. Go after the Lamb of God. Financial gain, follow me. Financial gain, follow me. Lord, I'll follow you. I will follow you, and he did. Amen. I just had to throw that exhortation in there. Did it edify you a little bit? Amen. We can learn from a man that made a lot of mistakes. but he didn't love money. He didn't pursue money. He pursued Jesus and gave his life for the gospel of the kingdom. Crucified upside down. That's what Jesus is after. You cannot serve God and mammon. I know a person of extreme means. This person had more money than all of us put together. Easily. You don't know who I'm talking about. But that person can build themselves a dream house and pay for it in full. They can buy any car they want to. Pay for it cash without blinking an eye. But you never hear that person. I had a good discussion with that person the other day for about 20 or 30 minutes. A wonderful, I hardly ever talked to that person. A wonderful discussion. That person has a lot of money, but that money does not have that person. You never hear that person talk about money. They love to pray, and they love the Word of God. You never hear them talking about money. Never. That is not their pursuit. They're pursuing Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that person has, you don't know who I'm talking about, that has money, more money than all of us put together, probably 10, 15 times over. But their pursuit is the Lamb of God. Their pursuit isn't what they can save for a rainy day or a bigger house or a bigger car. They're dead to that. They're dead to that. Does a new car and a bigger house, does that tickle your fancy, man? Does it tickle your fancy? Do you strive for it? If you are, just die to it. How? Pray in the spirit. Pushing that meal back. Worship Jesus. And believe the gospel. Don't go after nothing but Christ Jesus. The hope of glory in us. You die to things. You die to things. You die to anxiety. You die to worry. You die to self-pity. You die to mammon. You die to emotions. You die to trying to figure things out. You die to offenses, but it's all found in Him and nowhere else, man. You will not be moved. You will not be moved because if you die to self, you are believing the gospel of the kingdom of God. And you're here. I was thinking today about the Alabama crew. I don't think some of them are here. How? They relocated 700 miles to come receive an outpouring, to give their life to the gospel. 5 of them, 6 of them with Caleb, driving from Naples to hear the gospel of the kingdom. People that are hungry are moving in. They're not leaving. They're not leaving. I say this with all humility. If you're going farther away, and this is me, this is where I'm at now. This is death that's worked in me because I wanted to move to Texas. So, and this is not, before Almighty, this is, to nobody. This is me. This is what the Bible says. Delight yourself also in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. He takes your desire out and puts His desire in. If you delight yourself in the Lord also, He will put His desires, your desires, your so-called quote unquote necessities, your lust in a broad sense, they go away, man. He puts His desire in your heart. His desire. He eradicates your desire. That's what we're looking for. To die to self. To live unto the King forever. Amen. I want him, man. I want him. And I'm going to get him. He's apprehended me. And you know what? I'm going to apprehend him. And count my life but dung to know him and the power of the resurrection. I'm going to know him. We're going to see the fullness of the kingdom manifest. Amen. Hallelujah. Was that edifying? Glory. Love you, Prilo. You're an awesome man of God, Prilo. You're a humble man. You're meek. You got an awesome wife that will follow you to the end, Prilo. You're a wonderful dad. All you want to talk about is the Word of God. Stay humble. Stay meek. With a single eye, Prilo. You're an awesome man of God. I have so much respect for you. All you want to talk about is the Word all the time. Don't lose focus, Prilo. You got a wonderful wife, wonderful kids. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Amen. You be turning to Matthew 11. We're going to have a good time. And don't forget, Harry. All right. We're going to talk about John the Baptist a little bit. Do you believe, I'm asking you a question. Do you believe John the Baptist was familiar with the book of Isaiah, with the prophets? Do you think he was? Absolutely. Is that Ms. Gay said yes? But if Ms. Gay said yes, then he did. Isaiah chapter 40 talked about the coming of John the Baptist. Isaiah chapter 42 talked about the coming of Christ. Two chapters apart. Do you think John might have seen himself in John 4? You think, hey, that's me. Do you think he might have seen the Christ in Isaiah chapter 42? Hey, that's him. I'm here to testify of him. That's him. There he is. That's him. That's Jesus. He's the Messiah. So John knew that it was him. But the Bible left me a little, see, I'm not stuttering no more. A little call Pastor Brown, say, Pastor Brown, pray for me. No, I need him to pray for me. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, man. We don't need more prayer. We just need to know who we are. Pray for me, Pastor Brown. I love Pastor Brown. He's the big dog. He's my pastor. We don't need more prayer. We need more of him. Not prayer from somebody else. We just need him. And to know our authority in him. Amen. So, John the Baptist knew that he knew. In John 1, he says, the Lamb of God, which what? Which takes away the sin of the world. In Luke chapter 3, regarding John the Baptist, he says, one comes after me whose shoes lasted. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. I baptize you with water. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 3, the Bible says that he saw the Holy Ghost descend and remain on Jesus. He saw it. He saw the Holy Ghost and remain on Christ. He saw it. And he heard the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He heard all this. He believed the prophets. He knew that he knew that he knew that he knew. How many of you know that if the devil came at Christ Jesus after a 40-day fast, he come to take an inventory of him? But Christ said, it is written. It is written, it is written, it is written. Christ was spiritually alive. John was spiritually dead. Dead. So it was easy to be an emotional person when you're spiritually dead. We shouldn't be emotional as born-again believers. We're not feelers. We're believers. We don't believe what we feel. We believe Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. That's what we believe. John testified of Jesus. It's him. He heard God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He saw the Holy Ghost descend on Christ and remain on him. He said, "This is the Lamb of God." He knew that he knew, but he was spiritually dead. Do you agree with that? Do you know that John never, unless I'm wrong, he never heard Jesus teach? Do you know that John never saw Jesus work one miracle? John was jailed in Luke 3. He was jailed, already in prison. In Luke 3, he was in jail already for reproving Herod and his evil work. He was put in prison. How many know that Luke 4 comes after Luke 3? In Matthew, in chapter 4, it's recorded that he was in prison already. He never heard Christ teach. He never saw Christ walk in the raw power of God. But he knew it was him. But he never witnessed Christ work in glory and power. He didn't hear the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't hear the Sermon on the Plain. He didn't hear that. How do you know? Because I've been going through the Gospels. I've been terrorizing the Gospels. Going through them. And flirting with the book of Isaiah a little bit. He never heard Christ teach to my best of my recollection. He certainly never seen him work in power. But he testified of him. And Miss Gay answered quickly and promptly that she believed that John the Baptist knew the prophets. If Miss Gay is right, and she positively is, John seen himself in Isaiah chapter 40. And he seen the Christ in Isaiah chapter 42. He knew that he knew. Was cast in prison for his faith and for his belief, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance." That's what he preached. But he never heard Christ teach. He never seen him work any miracles. But yet, Miss Gay said quickly and promptly, why do you say Miss Gay? Because I respect her a lot. She's an awesome woman of God, as all of you are. And she knows her word. I've heard her. I've heard her teach before. She knows her word. So Isaiah 61, John knew. He knew Isaiah 61. He knew Isaiah chapter 1 through Isaiah 66. He was familiar with it. He knew that he was one crying in the wilderness. He knew that Christ would come. The right hand of God would be made manifest to Israel. He knew this. Evident in John chapter 1. Evidence in Luke chapter 3. And evidence in Matthew chapter 3. But he never heard him teach. He never seen one miracle worked by Jesus. But he knew Isaiah 61. Homer, what's Isaiah 61? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I'm going to quote Isaiah 51. Luke quoted Isaiah. Luke quoted Jesus. Luke wrote Isaiah 61, writing what Jesus quoted. Luke wrote down what Jesus quoted. And Jesus quoted Isaiah chapter 61. And this is what Jesus said. This is what he repeated out of the prophets. And Luke recorded what Jesus said out of Isaiah 61. This is what Jesus said, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. You agree with me that Luke chapter 3, before Luke chapter 4, John never heard Jesus quote this. Never heard him teach. And to the best of my recollection, He never saw him work a miracle. And he didn't hear Jesus quote Isaiah 61. He was in jail. According to Luke 3, according to John, to the book of John, no, not John, didn't record it, I don't think. And according to Matthew 3, he was in jail, according to Matthew 4. This is what Jesus quoted. Jesus quoted Isaiah 61. Luke recorded when Jesus quoted the prophets. So all Luke did was record what Jesus said and what he quoted out of Isaiah 61. Are you with me? This is what Jesus quoted, the prophets. After John was in prison, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, listen, to preach the gospel to the poor. Listen, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That word heal in the Greek means to cure, heal, make whole, be freed from sin. Salvation has come to you. He said, he has sent me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal, send me to heal. So to say that Christ only heals some, doesn't heal others because he's sovereign, that is a lie from the pits of hell. He said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted. So if me and Harry are at a park sick one day and he heals me and didn't heal Harry because he's sovereign, that is ignorance, man. You don't know the gospel if that's what you believe. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Isaiah 61, is what Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And Luke recorded what Jesus said. Out of Luke, out of Isaiah 61. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set free at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said the word preach three times. That whole passage of scripture is one thought. It's one thought. It's not three thoughts. When you preach the gospel, you're preaching deliverance to the captives. When you preach the gospel, people should be healed of any infirmity they have. Why? Because that's the gospel. All these are in conjunction with each other. You cannot separate them, but the church in general has done a hell of a job separating the scripture. Theology, all denominations have done a hell of a job destroying the gospel and watering it down. Listen to me. I spend too much time in the Word of God because I love it to believe different. I don't preach this because Pastor Bronk preaches it or because Pastor Dave preaches it. I preach it because I see it and because I pray in the Spirit. Sent me to heal the poor. He sent me to heal Caleb. He sent me to heal Alex, to heal Alex. He sent me to heal Homer. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said the word three times, preach. That's all one thought. That is the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? Do you see it clearly? All these are in conjunction. It's one thought. You go through Matthew or through the gospel. Jesus preached. He cast out devils. And he healed the sick. Everywhere he went. And so did the apostles. It's not that miracles ceased after the apostles. It's that sound doctrine ceased after the apostles. The true faith. The kingdom of God, it was compromised and watered down. That's why people don't even talk about miracles anymore. I read the Gospels in sonship and in grace to believe them, to know my Savior, to lay down my life for the gospel's sake. John never heard Christ teach, and he never saw him walk in power. But yet he knew Isaiah 61. yet he knew Isaiah 40, yet he knew Isaiah 42. He was familiar with these. You know why? Because Ms. Gay said so. Are you with me? Am I explaining it to you so you can explain it? I'm trying to talk real slow because are you understanding it? Am I presenting it simple to you? Okay. You don't believe me, make me a liar. Go home and study the Gospels and prove me wrong. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. John never heard him teach. He never saw Christ or heard Christ move in power. But he swore in John 1 and Luke 3 and Matthew 3 that he was the one. He heard God say, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." John said himself in John 1, "This is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He said in Matthew 3, "One cometh after me, whose shoes last I'm not worthy to unloose. I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." I'm just showing you that John the Baptist knew who Christ was. He knew the prophets. He knew the book of Isaiah. But he never heard him teach. He never saw Christ walk in power. So I asked myself, how did this man, who knew that he knew that he knew, how would he say in Luke chapter, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, listen carefully now, where after, what discouraged John to make such a statement? I said earlier that the Satan came at Christ. Christ sent him home like a little ball, like a little puppy, whipped by the word of God. As Christ put this in his mouth, and Satan left him for a season. The same Satan that came in Christ, he had to come in John. He's in prison. And he says this in prison. Matthew 11, chapter 2. I'm paraphrasing. When John heard of the mighty works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So some of his disciples say, "Go to him and say, Art thou he that should come?" John that knew that he knew in John 1, in Matthew 3, and Luke 3, he knew that he knew that he knew. He knew by the prophets, Isaiah 40, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 61. He knew that he knew that he knew. But he asked such a question after knowing that he knew. He said, "Art thou he that should come?" After knowing that he knew. He said, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" He never heard Christ teach. He never saw Christ work in power. So he says, and two of the disciples to Christ, he said, and they basically, he told the disciples to ask Christ, "Art thou he that should come?" Listen carefully, I'm almost there. "Or look we for another?" Christ answered, that's what he said. "Show John what things you have seen and heard." They said, John wants to know, "Are you he that should come?" Christ said, "Show him. Show him the things that you've seen and heard." "Well, what did you see, disciples of John?" He said, "The blind see, the lepers are cleansed, the lame walk." What's the other one? "The deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the gospel is preached to every man, and blessed is anyone that's not offended in him." He said, "You're asking me a question. I'm going to answer it. Not really directly, but indirectly. What does that sound like to you?" They said, "We come to you from John the Baptist, and he's asking us, Art thou he that should come?" That word "come" in the Greek means, are you the one that's to arrive? Are you the one that's to appear? Is this you? Jesus said, "Go and show John what things you hear and see, that the blind see, The lepers were cleansed. The deaf hear. The lame walk. And to the poor, the gospel is preached. And blessed is he who has not been offended in me. What does that sound like to you somewhat? Like what? I just quoted earlier. Isaiah 61. He didn't say it verbatim, but he's basically saying the same thing. Isaiah 61. Isaiah prophesied and Jesus quoted in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captive. To the recovering of the sight of the blind. To set at liberty those that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He told the disciples of John, tell him, show him what you've seen and heard. The blind see. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The lame walk. And the dead are raised. And blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Can you match that somewhat between the two? Isaiah 61 and the way Jesus answered John's disciples. Can you sort of put them two together? Really, can you? Amen. Okay. That's exactly right. So John says this. Tells the disciples, are thou he that should come? The Greek means, the word come in the Greek means, are you the one that's going to arrive? Or are you the one that's going to appear? Jesus answered, not directly, but indirectly. Basically, he was quoting Isaiah 61. John, disciples of John, go tell them what you've seen. Show them what you've seen. The blind see. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The lame walk. And the dead are raised. What's the first thing Jesus said in Isaiah said in Isaiah 61? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the last thing that Jesus said? Preach the gospel to the poor. Tremendous parallel between the response of Christ and Isaiah 61. He said, blessed is he who shall not be offended at me. Basically, John, the proof's not in the pudding. The proof is in the kingdom of God. Disciples of John said, Are thou he that should arrive? Are thou he that should appear? He said, you tell John what you've seen and heard. John is familiar with Isaiah 61. When you tell John what you've seen and heard, John knows Isaiah 61. He'll know that it's me. Based on the power and the gospel being preached to the poor, he'll know that it's me. It will bear witness with him that I am he. You got proof of that, homie? Yes, I do. Are you getting something out of this? Now you go down to Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. Christ says this, come unto me. Very important. The disciples of John asked Jesus, are thou he that should come? Are thou he that should arrive? Are thou he that should appear? He said, are thou he that should come? Look we for another. Jesus uses the same exact word in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. He said, come unto me. Come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That last word, rest, in that scripture means tranquility of soul. John asked, in verse 2 of chapter 11, are thou he that should come? Are thou he that should arrive? Are thou he that should appear? John asked Christ through disciples, are thou he that should come and arrive? Jesus says, come unto me. But the come word, the definition of the word come in the Greek that Jesus used is not the same word. That word that Jesus used means come hither. Are you with me? John said, are he that should come, that should arrive? Jesus said, oh, I'm he. Come hither. So that verse 20 and 29, I used to esteem it. Where all the Jews were trying to keep the law, they were heavy burdened. And it does mean that. They were heavy laden. They couldn't keep the law. Christ says, I come to reveal the Father to you. I come to give you newness of life. I come to bring tranquility to your soul. How do you know, Homer? We can't esteem the gospel as, or the rest of Christ as just born again. That would disannul Isaiah 61. That would disannul Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. That would disannul it. So Christ says, come unto me. John said, are they he that should come? Are you he that should arrive and appear? John says, come hither. Same conversation. The apostles of John went back to respond to John, but Christ is still carrying the same conversation in the same spot. You want to know if I'm here that should come? He told the multitude, come hither. Come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Multitude, you're weary. You're heavy laden. You're trying to keep the law, but you can't keep it because you're spiritually dead. But come unto me. Come unto me. Let me present the Father to you. Do you got proof of that, Homer? Yes, I do. Before he said that in Matthew 11, 28, 29, he used the word mighty works twice. Are you with me? He used the word mighty works twice. Two times. And he said, all things are given to me of my Father. And no one knoweth the Father but the Son. And who the Son is but the Father, and whom I will reveal him. That's what he said. All things are given to me. All things like what? Salvation. Mighty works. These are all from the Father. It's him working in me. All these things come to me from the Father, and no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and to whom the Son will reveal. Reveal who? Reveal the Father. I will reveal him. I will manifest him. I will show them something that's been unknown forever if you come to me. You won't be cast down. You won't be heavy laden. You're going to find rest in me because I'm going to come and make my abode in you. Christ in me. Hope of glory. Do you really think if I was dying of cancer, Miss Gay came to me, her and Marty came to the hospital bed where I was there in pain and agony. The doctor said, homie, you got 1 month to live. So Marty and Gay come preaching the gospel to me and I get born again. But I left in pain for 1 month. How much tranquility of the soul do you think I would have? He said, come to me regarding Matthew 11, 2 and 3. Regarding Isaiah 61. He said, come unto me, Harry. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm lowly and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we think he's just talking about salvation, he is. But it's deeper than that. He wants to show him the kingdom. He's a work mighty works twice. He said, all things are given to me of my Father. And knoweth the Father but the Son. And knoweth the Son but the Father, and to whom he will reveal him. He said, come unto me. Come hither. You asked if I was the one that, to arrive. I'm the one that was to appear. Come hither. Let me show you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Huh? Okay. Thank you. I'm winding down anyway. Do you think that rest is only born again? No. That rest is the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. The fullness of Isaiah 61. Yes, the Jews were under bondage. They were trying to keep the law, but they couldn't. Do you think the Romans chapter 7, Hebrew, that said he was a wretch? Romans 7 was talking about a Pharisee or a Sadducee, talking about a person trying to keep the law. He said, What a wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body? He didn't say, what's going to deliver me from the body of this death? He said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. So that with the flesh I myself, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. He said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Not what. Who is going to save me from being a wretch? Do you think that wretch, I'm winding down, thank you, Harry. You think that wretch that tried to keep the law but couldn't keep it, you think he might have been brokenhearted? Yes or no? Yes, yes, sir. Do you think blind Bartimaeus, do you think the widow at Nain that lost her son, do you think that she was happy and content? Or do you think there was tranquility in her soul with her son dead? No. There's tranquility in her soul when she saw the Christ raise him from the dead. You think Bartimaeus had tranquility of the soul and rest blind? Or do you think, I'm sure he gave his life to Christ after that, but you think he had tranquility of the soul when his eyes were opened? Are you with me? Or that he should come, he said, come hither. Let me show you that I'm the one that should come. So I get born again with a month left. Marty and Gay come preach Jesus to me. They get me born again. You think it's the will of my Father for me to be in pain for 1 month? Man, that's not even logical. But that's what the church believes. That's the sovereign will of God. No, sovereignty is when you believe it, he's going to do it. Sovereignty is if you believe in the Christ, you will be born again. That's his sovereign will. You cannot believe in Christ and not be born again. The sovereignty of God will make you, you will be born again. If you believe that he's a healer, he will sovereignly, because of what you believe, he will heal you. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Can you say amen? So I'm giving my life to Christ, and Christ is going to rejoice in my pain for a month? You're going to tell me that's the gospel? No, that's a watered down, compromised gospel. Are you with me? Come unto me, preload. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I am lowly and meek in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The kingdom of God is in that Bible verse. Freedom is in that Bible verse. Newness of life is in that Bible verse. Revealing the Father, it's in that Bible verse. Revealing heaven is in that Bible verse. Are you with me? Comfort, tranquility of the soul is in the kingdom. And that, what I say, we're trying to have, we're trying to reestablish it again. We're not looking for anything new. The power of the kingdom is not new. We're just trying to bring it back by laying down our lives to see a mockery born again. To see those healed of all manner of sickness and disease. That's the gospel of the kingdom. To think that God heals one and not the other, that's sovereign God's will. That's stupidity. That's not the gospel. He said, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The word heal in the Greek means healed, cured, made whole, freed from sin. Salvation has come to you. Christ is not one dimensional. Isaiah 61. is one thought. They're all in conjunction. And that is the gospel of the kingdom, my friends. That is what we believe. Yes, I want people born again. That's the greatest miracle ever. But you tell a person to walk in tranquility of soul when they're in pain for one more month, that's not the gospel. That's not my Lord. That's not His sovereignty. That's partiality. And He does not operate like that. You with me? Are you getting something out of this? Are you for real? Say amen if you are. Amen, Prilo. John never saw him work. He never heard him preach, but John knew Isaiah 61, and he knew Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 42. He knew these. So when Christ said, tell him what you've seen and heard, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached, Christ was saying, this is going to bear witness with him. Amen. Can you see can you see the picture, the image of what I'm trying to present to you? So come unto me, all ye that labor. It's far more. It's far more than born again. It's the kingdom of God. Everything that Christ has for us through the finished work of the cross is accessible to me and you. All we got to do is believe it. Believe it. Do what we do. Lay down our life to walk in that greater love. To give our life for the kingdom. To not chase mammon. Me, my conviction. I don't know if it's yours or not. I desire a bigger car. And you say, homie, you don't desire one because you don't work anymore. No. There's an NFL millionaire that offered me a $50,000 truck that I said no to. That millionaire comes to me all the time. What do you need? Here's this money. No, thank you. Just be my friend. You're wrong in that. You're completely wrong in that. But it doesn't move me. A bigger house does not move me. That's dead. All I want is Him. I want to see this kingdom come in fullness. Like the big dog calls it, I want to see a revival too, my friends. I will not be a good, solid Christian my whole life. No. I am going to be a servant, a G1401, a doulos, one that has no will because His will is magnified inside of me. I don't care if I die for the cause. I want Him. And so do you because you're here. People are moving in because of their passion. That's so commendable. In closing, this last word, He said, come unto me. Come unto me. Come hither. You ask if I'm the one that's to arrive, or I'm the one that is to appear. Come. Let me show you. Let me show you, blind Bartimaeus. Let me show you that I'm He. Come hither, Homer. Come hither. I'm going to give you some new kidneys, Homer. I'm going to give you a new eyes. Just believe it. Just believe it, Homer. Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Not only will I free you from sin, but I will heal you if you believe it. That is the gospel of the kingdom. In fullness. All these are in conjunction. Preaching of the gospel, healing the sick, casting out devils. They're all in conjunction. It's one thought. Don't let anybody, any church, any denomination, anybody in here tell you different. The gospel of the kingdom is ours. And we lay down our life because we want to see people healed and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to win our town. We want to win our nation. We want the politicians in the White House to be born again. That's what we want, Democrat and Republic. Come. Amen. Can I ask you one last question? Did you learn something tonight? Really, really. You know something, Prilo? You ready to get born again? Stand with me, please. If you have something to give, the offering bucket will be in the back. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for praying in the spirit. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for fasting. Thank you for worship. Thank you for all the things that you've given us, Father, to believe your word. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. All we want is you, Lord. Show us how to die, Lord, to ourselves, to our own selfish ambitions, to things that we feel that we need, Father. Take us to death, Holy Spirit. As you're in us, praying through us, frame our world. Perform spiritual surgery on us every day, Holy Spirit, as you pray God's perfect will in our life. So, Father, I thank you and love you. If there's anybody here tonight or anybody in the airways online, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today's your day. Today's your day. It's easy to accept Christ as a Redeemer. Acknowledge your sin and say, Jesus Christ, you died to redeem me, to bring me place to a place, to bring me back to a place of sonship. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the Word of God, and my faith is in you. Christ, enter into me. Change me, mold me, and mend me. Give me your life, and I'll never be the same again. If that's you, there will be a change in you. There can be nothing but a change if you meant that. Nothing but a change if you meant it. So, Father, we thank you for the beloved. We thank you for everyone here tonight. Father, we thank you for Pastor Brock. We thank you for Nathaniel. We thank you for Miss Candy. And my son's healed in Jesus' name. I praise you and thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your grace. Kingdom of God, come in fullness. Revival be, revival come. John asked Christ, Are thou he that should appear? Are thou he that should arrive? Jesus said, come hither. Let me show you. He wants to show the world they can come to him right now for all that they need. So, Father, we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty holy name we pray. And everyone said boldly, amen. God bless you. See you Sunday. And I need to write home somebody.